Hi everybody, I'm Ron and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to welcome anybody new, anybody coming back. Welcome to AA. What a fantastic talk, Bobby. Wow. Bobby's a sponsee of mine and I have a couple others here, but... So my sobriety date's November the 3rd, 1988. And I got here over 30 years ago. And when I got here, I was no different than anybody sitting in this seat. You know, when I got here, I was dying, as the dying can get. I needed help. I drank all the time. I'm a Vancouver longshoreman. And what life was like down there was a lot of drinking and, you know, life was just crazy. I mean, you know, what do you do when you want to go to work every day and you want to drink, and then you kind of finish work and you still want to drink, and you go home and you want to drink, and, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to drink, and you wake up in the morning and you want to drink. How do you stop? How do you stop that? How do you stop, like, from dying? You know, I really needed help. And, you know, thank God I had a good job at the time. Like I said, I was longshoreman. And, you know, I see one of my friends here tonight, you know, who has a dad who was longshoreman, Heather right here. And, you know, I worked with her dad a lot and stuff. So, you know, I can remember going to work many times and just being so drunk. And where her dad works is I used to drink. And I'd work with her dad and stuff like this, and we would unload like maybe 3,000 cars, right? But you know where I was, is that here's a ship full of all these cars, and I went to maybe the second floor, and I'd jump into a car, I'd pull it back, and I'd go to sleep, right? And pass out, right? And then all of a sudden, I hear all these car engines starting because we have to unload these cars. Right? So then I'm like, oh, geez, I better wake up because I'm passed out in this brand new car and I need to go to work. Right? So, you know, that's what my days were like. You know, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And I needed help and I got help. So I got here and, you know, I usually talk about the steps, but, you know, Bobby already talked all about the steps, but, you know, it's part of my life also. So, you know, when I got here, I needed help and, you know, I didn't know how to stay sober. And so I came here and I was actually dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when you're dying in these rooms and not understanding, and, you know, I can just be here and just dying. I was coming to these meetings and all I was wishing for was somebody to help me. And yeah, they have big book studies. And yeah, you know, they have people to read the book with you. But I didn't understand. I don't know if you guys get that, but I got that. I didn't understand. I had a sponsor at the very beginning. I needed help. So how do you help somebody like me who's asking everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous for help, but I'm not getting the help that I need? So I ended up picking up the big book and I started reading the big book, and you know, it wasn't easy, but you know what I did is I started sponsoring people. I had 2 months sober and I started sponsoring people, and man, I was a terrible sponsor, God, you know, but all you have to do is to be a sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous is to understand the steps and stay one step ahead of your sponsee. So that's all I did. And that's all I did. And I continued to stay in front of the sponsees. And I taught myself to learn this and read the big book. I did steps from the treatments, Maple Ridge Treatment Center, to UGM, to the Idiot's Guide, to the NA Way, and to the CA Way, the AA Way, the Al-Anon Way. And oh, it was every way I could get. But you know, it took a lot of studying the big book. And this is exactly what happened for me. My life started to change because I had to understand this. I had to understand it. Not only did I have to read the big book, but I had to understand what it was saying. Right? My life depended on it. No different than Bobby's or no different than anybody here. I get the craziness. Every single day I'm getting phone calls from people like, help me, help me. But they're just like me. And today I can't help you. You know, so And how I help people today is I help them through the steps, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And not only do I help you through the 12 steps in 12 hours, but I help you live this way of life. So how do you live it? Like, how do you live this? If you know how to live the 12 steps, you're gonna have an amazing life. You truly will. But how do you live this step one? Like what? Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I didn't know powerless meant. Power in the big book means power. It means God. Powerless means not listening to God. So we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Meant that I stopped listening to God when it came to drinking. Right? And our lives became unmanageable. What's that unmanageability? That's that irritable, restless discontent. And where we get that from is Dr. Silkworth. Dr. Silkworth finally said to Bill, Bill's going around to people in AA when AA first started, get down on your hands and knees and pray. Right now, pray. Well, obviously it didn't work. And it didn't work for Bill either because he went back out drinking. He went back to the hospital and he's talking to Dr. Silkworth. And Dr. Silkworth says, hey, look, Bill, why don't we go to an alcoholic and explain about that obsession of the mind, the allergy, and that these alcoholics can't tell the difference between the truth and the false. Well, what is that? What are they talking about? The truth, believe it or not, has always been within us, but so is the false. And that's my head. So he said, why don't you go to an alcoholics and explain to them like what's going on? Well, one day he did. He finally, you know how the story goes, went to the Mayflower and he got a hold of an alcoholic through Henrietta and they went to go talk to Dr. Bob. They talked to Dr. Bob, but he was underneath the table, passed out the very first time. So they had to wait until he got sober, right? Or until he stopped drinking. So Dr. Bob was only going to give Bill Wilson like 10 minutes of his time. They spent all day talking about this obsession of the mind, the allergy, and the difference between the truth and the false. And Dr. Bob never heard of this before, right? So he is intrigued about it. And this is how AA started, right? So we were talking about, Bobby was talking about what happens is the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind. So the main problem is our thinking. See, alcohol isn't my problem today, right? So if you think alcohol's a problem, it's not. Alcohol is not the problem. My thinking gets me to the alcohol. That's the problem. Because my thinking tells me that it's okay or it's not okay, or maybe I don't care. But it's coming from my mind. It's not coming from anywhere else. If you're going back out drinking, something happens before that. And that's that irritable, restless discontent. So that's why it's where it's at, because of Dr. Silkworth. And that's our warning, is we're just not gonna leave here and just go drink. We're not. Something's going to happen. Something's happening within us. And we're either too happy or too sad, or maybe I'm unhappy. It tells me that I'm unhappy. If I'm in the spirit point there, it brings me to step one. And step one is, like I was talking about, step one is those are thinking, right? So, and I don't want to stay there. I tell people when I help people with the steps, I tell them like, hey, no thinking. There's no thinking about this at all. You shouldn't be thinking at all. Because if you're thinking, you're in the problem and you're trying to find a solution that you know your whole entire life that I got this. Well, if you got it, you probably got it from your thinking. You're not getting it from your heart or from some sort of solution. So you're trying to find a solution from the problem that created the problem. Believe me, it doesn't work. So I had to know what the problem is, my thinking. I needed to go to the other steps. I needed to go to steps 2 and 3. If I had a problem, I need to go to solution. Solution is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. Well, okay, so the solution's God. And I mean, I went on holidays looking for God in AA. I went all over the place. I want to find God. Hey, do you know where God is? And everybody's telling me different stories. God, where's God? Where's God? Nobody told me that God was in your heart. And it talks about it, that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, wow, I figured this out. It took me about 15 years of sobriety to start using my heart because I'm going all over the place, still kind of crazy, but trying to pray. But little did I know the solution was within me the whole time. So it's within me. And I'm like, oh my God, it's in our heart. Then it talks about deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. It also says at the back of the big book, Spiritual Experience, if you look at the very bottom page, it says our members have tapped an unexpected inner resource, which they presently use as a power grid themselves. So I don't care who God is. Really, I don't. All I know is through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is where God is, and God's within me. Now I have the solution. And this is good news because now I don't have to rely on my sponsor. My sponsees don't have to rely on me because they should be relying on God. So where's God? God's in our heart. And you know, since I've been sober, every single question I've ever asked myself, this is the truth. Any question I've ever asked myself has always came from my heart and it's always told me the truth. Should I do this? And if my heart says no, I shouldn't be doing it. And I don't. I follow my heart. And you know, maybe that odd time, I didn't listen to my heart. You know what happens? Irritable, restless, discontent. I'm unhappy. So I need to follow this. I need to live in steps 2 and 3. You know, and step 3 talks about, you know, talks about faith. It does. It talks about having faith. And it talks about just having enough faith to go forward to do the rest of this work. And living in your heart. It truly does. So then we do the rest of this work. And I'm going to tell you why we have to do the rest of the work. It's because things happen every day. Things happen in my life. Like somebody might cut me off. And I'm going to react to that. You know, or somebody doesn't like me or whatever. Or it doesn't matter. But something happens and they pull me away from my heart and I get back into my head and I'm irritable, restless, discontent, and I'm unhappy. And so you can't stay sober on steps 1, 2, and 3. You can't. I'm living in my heart. I know where the heart is. I'm good. I'm good to go. No, you're not. Because things happen is I'm going to react and this is how I'm going to react. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be inconsiderate. So what really sends back the alcoholic? It talks about what sends back the alcoholic, right? I know where it says, you know, what sends back, but it's the defects of character. It's how I react to my everyday life that I don't like, and, right? So it's, and if you do that enough, it's pulling you away from, so why we do step 4 is we have to remove the blocks that are blocking us from God. So we need to remove these blocks, and that's what step 4 is about. That's what step 5 and step 6 is about, right? I need to remove this resentment. And do you know why when I came in, oh good, I got lots of time, perfect. So when I came into AA, my sponsor says, hey, are you resentful at anybody? I'm like, yeah. So I had like 600 people. Right? I was pissed off at everybody. And I wish I would have known the steps like I know today because I have a limit of 15. I want you just to make the best 15 resentments you have in your life because that's all you pretty much need in order to understand why you're doing it. And I'm going to tell you why we're doing it is because I used to always blame you. I didn't like you. You were too pretty, you were too good, you know, I didn't have enough money, but you did. You have the better job, you have the better car, you have a better life than me. I was resentful and I blamed people and I looked at people and I hated everybody. Believe me, I hated, I wasn't right on wrong when I came to AA. You remember, yeah. And you know what, and I wasn't. I was mad, I was inconsiderate, I was selfish, I was mean, I didn't care about anybody's thoughts, nothing. You really meant nothing to me. Nobody did, because I didn't love me, right? And I didn't know that. So what it taught me was this, is I had to stop blaming, because when it comes to step 4, it talks about now we have to look at ourselves. in step four, in the resentment part. I have to look at, where am I at fault? What were my mistakes? That's what it says. I have to look at my mistakes. Where was I, you know, selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and resentful? Fearful, that's right. So, right? I had to look at this. And not only I had to look at that, I needed to know, why am I selfish? So I didn't, I'm gonna give you an example. I don't like this loud guy. He's right on Ron. I don't like him, right? And but I had to find out why I didn't like him. And why am I reacting that way? And that's where I get my defects of character. Because every time I see this right on Ron, I don't like him. And you know how I'm gonna react? I'm gonna be, what? I'm gonna be mean. I'm gonna be inconsiderate with him. I'm gonna judge him. So I get all of this work through that, through my fears, through my sex, through my harms. But what I'm really, really looking at is me. And I'm not looking at you anymore, and I can't blame anybody anymore for nothing. I can't blame you. It talks about, I have to look at me. How am I going to react to every situation? And how I reacted before I came into AA is really, really mean and really angry and all of those things. So now I've done all this work and I sat with somebody. So now I have all these defects of character, and it comes to step six, and we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And I got a lot of them. And I'm mean, I'm angry, I'm inconsiderate. I judge everybody. I'm just pure meanness and selfishness to the extreme. And I mean the extreme case. That's me. So then we get to actually, so I get to know it and see it, and that's step six. Step six is just knowing it and seeing it. Step seven is where I don't want to do this anymore. This is step seven, is somebody ask him to remove my shortcomings. Step seven is when I don't want to be that mean guy anymore. I don't want to be inconsiderate with my girlfriend. I don't want to be like that. And me just praying about that isn't going to change anything. I'm still going to be mean. And I'm still going to be inconsiderate. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be angry. What helps me is step seven. Somebody ask him to remove our shortcomings. So God, it talks about God helping us. You can't change something without God's help. But that alone isn't enough, because as you know, faith without works is dead. So I can have as much faith as I want. I'm still going to be inconsiderate and mean, and I don't want to do that. So what it teaches us in step seven is, what does God want you to do? So if you're so mean and so angry and so inconsiderate, what does God want? Actually the opposite. So now we're using those defects of character, and let's just forget about them. Let's just leave them at step six. I know what they are. Step seven is living the opposite of my defects of character. So where does God want me? God wants me to actually love you guys. God wants me to like live this life and maybe judge you with love, because that's not how I was doing things. God wants me to be actually considerate to you. Right? But that wasn't me. God wants me to love everybody. That wasn't me. God wants me to treat my girlfriend, Kim, and everybody with love and respect. That's what God wants. I used to argue about things, everything. I just argue. Oh, listen to me. No, I don't do that today. Because that's like a defect of character. God wants me to communicate today. You know, so, I have an amazing girl in my life today. But I didn't know that. I needed to live in God's will today. I needed to live a life of love, a life of appreciation. That's where step seven got me. Okay, so then we get to step eight, and our step eight is done in our step four. Made a list of all people we harmed and became willing to make amends to them. By the time you get to actually step eight, you might have a few people you want to add to it, because maybe from the resentment part, after talking to your sponsor and everything else, by the time we get to step eight, maybe I have just a few more people to add, because now I'm starting to care a lot more about people. And you know what? Maybe I do need to fix things. Maybe my new relationship. Maybe the bills. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe I should start paying money to these parking meters. Whatever the case might be. But I need to fix things that I'm not doing that upset me and pulls me away from my heart. I want to live that way of life today. So then it comes to step 9. And Bobby talked about step 9 and made direct amends. You gave a fantastic talk today, Bobby. I'm just so proud of you. He has how many months? 8 months? Over 8 months? Fantastic, Bobby. So then we have to make amends. And I don't know if you know this or not, but how can I go and make amends to people if you can't make amends to yourself first? Like, how can I go to somebody and say, you know what, I was wrong. I was judging you or something. I was wrong. You know, I shouldn't have treated you like that. How can I do that? Because really, it's hard. And it's in some ways, it's useless in some way, unless you can feel it within yourself. So you deserve the more love, and you need some sort of guideline for you in your life more than anybody else in this world, because you're good to nobody if you don't love yourself and get to love yourself and head towards loving yourself. So what does that mean? That means maybe like going to meetings. That means like maybe working these steps in your life. Well, so I tell somebody who does step 9 on themselves, hey, name like 40 things that you should be doing right now that will love you. That would probably be going to meetings. That would probably be doing the steps. That'd be taking people through the steps. It'd be treating your girlfriend with love and respect all the time. It'd be paying your bills. It'd be going to work. It'd be walking your dog. These are the amends that we need for my life. I want to treat, the number one thing I got is to always react with love. Because, you know, that's my number one thing, is always to react with love. Because why I say to react with love, and I help sponsees with this, is because I always used to react out of anger, or I used to always react of what I thought was right, and it wasn't, right? So reacting with love is the number one thing I teach all the sponsees, and in my life, I have to remind myself daily, is to always react with love, and that's what I do. So now I have a list in step 9. I'm doing loving things for me. I'm doing loving things for everybody around me. So I have some sort of guideline. Step 9, loving myself, the amends. So then you have step 10. Oh, and then we have to make amends to others. And I'm easy when it comes to making amends to others. Fix it. Send them an I love you card. Send your parents, you know, not that I made your life miserable for all these years, but why don't you just send them a thank you or I love you card that I love you, you know, if they're here or not. Make amends, fix it, send them a card. Tell them, go up to them and say, hey, you know what? You know, I really appreciate you today. And you know what I'm gonna do? Not only I'm gonna tell you that today, but I'm gonna tell you that every day, that I appreciate you and I love you. What kind of actions are you gonna do for your parents? I know what I do for my parents today, and believe me, what I do today for my parents, I do not do when I was out there drinking, because I didn't care about anybody. And Kim knows what I do today. And I love my parents today. Right? I love my family. I love my girlfriend today. I love my sponsees. I love the new people. Because to give hope to an alcoholic is to give them the world. And this is why I'm here today. Because I'm only here for one reason and one reason only. You guys gave me hope the day I walked in here. And I believed in you. And that's why I'm still here today, is because I need to give it back to you. Because you guys gave it to me when I walked through those doors. So then I have to continue to take personal inventory. I have to do this all through the day. Bobby already explained the 5 things that I have to do. I have to look for my defects of character. I got to pray. I got to tell somebody immediately. I need to tell somebody immediately. I have to make amends quickly. And I need to resolutely turn my thoughts how I can help others. That's step 10, all through the day. So step 11, I love step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation. And praying is, you know, sought through prayer and meditation. Prayer is asking God. So that's like talking to your heart and stuff. But I like the other part. I like the meditation part. I love like listening to my heart. Because when I listen to my heart, it's always telling me the truth. It's not confusing. So I meditate a lot. And I just listen to my heart. What really should I be doing in this case here? And I listen to my heart. Right? That's my meditation. And then you know what? Like Bobby says on the awakening, pause when agitated. And you know, and then we have to do the 9 questions at night on step 11. Step 12 is I need to help others. And I always thought helping others, and it talks about how helping others is the foundation stone of our recovery. And it says a kind act once in a while isn't enough. So if you're sitting here and if you're helping somebody like once in a while, you're doing it wrong. It talks about that we need to do this all the time. It says standing on the firing line of life and God will keep you unharmed. I had to believe in that. And I had to believe in what the big book taught me. It also, I was gonna drink one day. Years and years ago when I was first newly sober, I was a mess and it was the only time I ever really was really thinking about drinking, and I was doing a whole lot of damage and I didn't know what I was doing. And you know, I came to a horrible situation early in my sobriety and I needed something. So I went home that night and I said, like, God, I need some help here because I don't want to drink. So I said, help me, just like, help me. What can I do? And I can tell you what I was doing. I was actually going out with a couple of people at the same time and it was like a nightmare. And my sponsor didn't explain to me, like, you know, maybe you should just work on yourself, you know? So it was just a mess. So I opened up the big book and I knew I was probably gonna drink. So I opened up the big book and I said, please just help me, just help me. I need some help here. So I opened up the big book and I'm pretty sure it's on page 69, I think. And it says this, it says, if you are sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. But if we are sorry, oh no, if we're sorry, and our conduct continues to harm others, well, we theorize that you will drink. But if you're not sorry or something, and if the conduct continues to harm others, you will drink. So the bottom line is if I'm gonna go around this fellowship and outside of these rooms, and if I am going to hurt people, I am going to drink. There is no doubt in my mind. But it says, if you are sorry, it says, we believe you will be forgiven. But if you're not sorry and if your conduct continues to harm others, you will drink. And you know what? I believe this so much even more clearer today, you know, helping, you know, so many people. And my life is filled with just love today. Liars get drunk, you know, and I tell my sponsors that liars get drunk. Bottom line is liars get drunk. And I said to Bobby one night, I said, what lie is a lie that gets you drunk? You remember? You know, so the lie that is going to get us drunk is this. And this is the worst part in the big book. And it's actually the insanity. And the insanity is you think is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's not the insanity they're talking about. Okay, this is the insanity. And this is the lie that's going to get people drunk. The idea, that's what's going to get you drunk. Your head is. And let me just finish that off. So the idea that somehow, someday, we will control our drinking is a great obsession to every abnormal drinker. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. So what will get you back out drinking is the idea, right? What's the lie? What's the biggest lie you can tell yourself? The idea. And it's going to come from your mind. It's definitely not going to come from your heart. So, you know, with that, you know, I've been so fortunate. Like, you know, I'm just so fortunate to live live a life through my heart today. You know, so I'm just going to end up off with just one thing is with my second sponsor. I've had three sponsors. My first sponsor was Damon. Love him. He taught me how to walk with people in the fellowship and out of these fellowships. Take them to meetings, go to meetings, do the service work. Well, the second sponsor was Milton, right? And I learned love from him. And the sponsor I have now, he's the inside sponsor that just loves me and accepts me and teaches me things all the time, which I truly love. But I met, just before I end, I heard my second sponsor and I was sitting at the very back of the meeting one day. And this sponsor, or this guy, his name's Milton Merle. And he came up to the podium and he says, "You have to love me." And I'm like, "What?" I'm sitting at the back of the... He says, "You all have to love me." And I'm like, "Really? Huh." I'm sitting at the back of the meeting and I have about 15 years sober. And I'm like, "No, I don't love this guy. I don't even love him saying this." And he says, "I'm going to tell you why you have to love me. Because if you don't love me, it might mean you don't like me. And if you don't like me, it might mean you have a resentment towards me. And if you have a resentment towards me, it's the number one offender that sends out more alcoholics than anything else. You have to love me." I'm like, "I love this guy. I love this guy." Completely changed how I saw life. Do you get me? And you know what? That's my life today, is I have to love you. Even Bobby mentioned it in step 10 at the bottom of page 84. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Right? You know, so I have a life filled with love today. And it's only because of the 12 steps. So, you know, thanks for my sobriety.